Whatever we build, a shed, a garage, a fence, a house, we build it with the intention that it will last many years, that it is going to stand through the storms that may come. We never build anything with the intention of watching it collapse. Honey, come and see the shed that I have built. Now watch it go down. We don't do that. Only in Hollywood do they build that way, for the purpose of entertaining through their movies. Many people know the story of the three little pigs who build their homes for themselves and the big bad wolf who huff and puff trying to destroy their houses. But how many know the story of the two builders that was told by Jesus? This morning we are going to take a look at this story. It is a great story. We will see that one of the builders was smart and the other was not. And Jesus is going to explain what made one a wise builder and what made the other a foolish builder. So today we will see that it is possible to build something that will be unshakable. So please turn with me to our text, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, as we continue where we stopped last week and conclude today our study of the Sermon on the Mount. We've been in there for a long time, chapter 5, 6, 7, a beautiful sermon. Remember, chapter 7 deals with the right way and the wrong way of doing things. We've seen the two ways to judge. We've seen the two ways to pray, the two ways to go, the two ways to produce, the two ways to minister. So today we will close with the two ways to build and the two ways to teach. Two ways to build, verses 24 to 27, and the two ways to teach, verses 28 and 29. The final portion of the Sermon on the Mount, verses 13 to 27, was designed to warn us against the danger of being deceived by appearances. The Lord presented four warnings and he used five different pictures. Warning number one was about the wrong direction. And the pictures that he used was the two gates, two roads, one leading to destruction, the other one leading to eternal life. The danger of going the wrong way, being deceived by appearances. Then warning number two was about the wrong perception. He said, beware of false prophets. And the two pictures that he used were wolves in sheep clothing and then fruit trees. The danger of being deceived by false prophets who look good, who sound good. It's important to be able to identify them. And we will identify them by their fruit. So do not trust appearances, Jesus said. Then warning number three was about the wrong assumption. The picture he used was people standing in front of God at the final judgment, assuming that they will enter heaven by saying the right thing. The danger of assuming that the right words will provide entrance into heaven. We saw there is no entrance on false pretenses. Now, warning number four today is about the wrong foundation. The picture that Jesus will use is two houses with different foundation, a solid one and a flimsy one. The danger of building upon the wrong foundation, resulting in the total collapse at the first storm. The last picture that he will show us, we will see the difference between the true Christian and the imitation, the so-called Christian who are not really Christian. It's all in the foundation. Between the person who is really born again, a child of God, and the person who say or who thinks he is. Jesus was a carpenter. He knew about building. When he spoke about foundation of a house, he knew what he was talking about. In Israel, it's a little bit different than here. Builders had to think ahead because of their weird weather condition. Heavy rain with excessive flooding could wash away poorly grounded home. So a man might have built his house during the summer. Beautiful weather, the ground looked good, but he might have built in a dried up bed of a river. But when winter came, with the heavy rains, his house would be gone. Or he might have foolishly built directly on the sand, and his house would be simply washed away. Now, Jesus is not really concerned with the housing market or the saving of material possession. The parable today teaches us about building strong lives. We must be careful about what we build on. A day will come when our building, our life, will be tested. Storms will come. It's a sure thing. It is just a matter of time. Some people get totally wiped out by any storms of life. Looking at them in normal weather condition, they seem to have it together. They seem to flow with everything. They have a great attitude. We admire them. We admire what they have built. But suddenly, everything collapses. What happened? Jesus tells us in verse 24, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." So, who is the whoever here? Whoever hears these sayings of mine, verse 24. Jesus is not contrasting the Christian with a heathen, apples and oranges. He is contrasting two types of foundation that exist in Christianity. He is contrasting a solid Christian with a solid foundation, with a carnal Christian with a flimsy foundation. The word house here signifies life. Right away, Jesus identifies the wise builder. He starts with him. He is the one who builds on the rock. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, confirmed that Jesus is the rock. He said, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Then Jesus clarifies what he means by building on the rock. The one who builds on the rock is the one who hears his sayings, and he does them. This is the only way to build on the rock. There are no other way. It makes sense. If Jesus is the rock, doing what he says is building on the rock. When the storms of life will come, only the one who has built his life on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ will stand. He won't collapse. He is unshakable. Verse 25 mentioned the tests. Three things are mentioned: the rain, the floods, the winds. These things are sure to happen. And Jesus used the past tense to confirm that it will happen. We cannot escape. Life is difficult, and there will be storm. There will be difficulties. So Jesus goes on and says in verse 26, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So after comparing the first builder to a wise man, Jesus then turned to the second builder, and he compared him with a foolish man. Why foolish? Because he built his house on the sand. He did not bother to build a foundation. Who cares, he thought. Takes too long. Costs too much. Don't have time for that. The two houses may have looked identical, but only one house was able to stand the test. The house of the man who heard the word of God and who obeyed the word of God. The house of the foolish men who ignore God's word, who rejected God's word, it fell. And it was a great fall, Jesus says in verse 27. The two houses look identical. But what about the two builders? They had three similarities. Number one, both men had the same desire. They wanted to build a house where he and his family could live and enjoy life. So both wanted the same thing. They thought about the same thing. They had the same idea. So far, they alike. They're not different. Then number two, both men built in the same locality, same area. And the Lord points out clearly that the two houses were subjected to the very same test, the same weather, the same stresses, the same storm, the same wind, the very same condition. So like it is hard to tell a false prophet by his look, so it is hard to tell a flimsy house by its look. It may look strong. It may look just like the house next door. The difference is not that obvious. Character is revealed by fruit. We were told in verse 20. But faith is revealed by storm. And then number three, both men design the same kind of house. We assume that from the fact that the Lord mentioned no other differences in the homes except their foundation. Externally, on the surface, there was no difference. Both had doors, had windows, roof, a chimney. Everything was just about the same thing at the same place. The difference was not in the men who built it, nor in the materials that they used to build with. The difference was only in the foundation on which they were built. And the foundation is everything. Very important. Now, when Luke, who wrote his own gospel, when he tells us the story, he gives us additional details about the difference. He was a doctor. He was a detailed man. I like to read Luke because you're going to get many additional little details. So being a doctor, he gives us the detail. And he says in Luke chapter 6, verse 47 to 49, Whoever comes to me, Jesus said, and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So now it makes sense. Here we have a clear difference. One man worked harder. He spent more time. He dug deep. He laid a solid foundation. The other man cut corners. He did not work as hard. He could care less. He did nothing. He laid no foundation at all, but quickly built right on the earth or right on the sand. And it is clear from this story that Jesus has three requests for people. He desired three things. He has three requests for us. Request number one, that they come to him. This is the first thing to do. In Matthew 11:28, he said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So his request is for our own good. He will give us rest. So his first request is to come to him. Request number two, that they hear his saying. This is what God requests of you. You come to him and you hear his saying. The main reason for the great difficulties that people face today is the fact that they do not hear and they do not know the sayings of Jesus. The first step to the Christian life is to learn what Jesus said. Again, for our own good. It will spare us great difficulties in life. So Jesus wants us to come to him, and he wants us to hear him. And then, request number three, that they do them, those saying, that they obey those saying. It would be perfectly possible for a man to pass an exam in Christian ethics with high distinction and yet not be a Christian. Knowledge must become action. Principle must become practice. Doctrine must become a way of life. So three simple things that Jesus requested that cost nothing. Come to him, hear him, obey him. There is no point in going to a doctor unless we are prepared to do the things we hear him telling us. There is no point in going to an expert unless we are prepared to act upon his advice, his counsel. How many Christians go for counseling? And I know that. And they do not do what they hear, and their struggles continue. The counsel is for their own good. It will help them resolve their struggles, but they won't do it. Hundreds of thousands of people listen to the teaching of Jesus every Sunday morning in America. They have a very good knowledge of what he said, and yet they make little or no attempt at all to put it into practice. Why bother? They meet the first two requests of Jesus. They come to him. They hear his sayings, but they stop there. They are content with knowing the sayings of Jesus. It gives them some kind of a weird comfort that they know, and they shortchange themselves. They are not wise. Their house, their life is not secure. After coming to him and hearing him, we must obey his sayings. We must do what he said. This is building on a solid foundation. Hearing is one thing. Doing is another. Knowledge is one thing. Obedience is another. To obey is more important than to accumulate knowledge. You may have a lot of knowledge, but if you don't obey it, it's useless. Jesus says, you are not wise. You're not building wisely. Now, what are the characteristics of the foolish builder? Well, he is constantly in a hurry. He wants to do everything at once. He has no time to wait. He is very impatient. He looks for shortcuts, and he looks for quick results. He does not look at the instruction sheet. He is not willing to listen to advice. He does not pay attention to rules and regulations. He cannot be bothered with those things. In his opinion, his ideas are the best. No one has discovered the things that he has discovered. He has nothing to learn from anybody. He feels he knows all that he needs to know. He does not have to listen to anybody else. He does not care about what has been done in the past. He follows his own impulses and his own ideas. We see this sometimes in new converts, new Christians, just a few months old. They are in such a hurry to get into a ministry. They are ready to pastor a church. They cannot wait. They cannot build a solid foundation. Cut me loose. I'm ready to go. They challenge the leadership of their church. They know it all. They have all the answers. They are dangerous. So is the unwise builder. What are the characteristics of the wise builder? Well, he is the opposite of the foolish builder. He has one desire, to build strongly and permanently. He likes the plans, the specification. He follows guidance. He knows he can build quickly, but he wants a house that will last. So he takes the time to find out all that he can. He desires knowledge. He's anxious to know the right way to do things. He listens to instruction. He is prepared to be taught by others. He does what he has learned. He does not take foolish risks. He does not rush off in a hurry. No shortcut. He thinks before he acts. The Bible says, the fool hates instruction, but the wise men listen to words of counsel. So that's the difference between the two builders. Now let's look at the two houses. When can we see the difference between the two houses? If we wait until the houses are built, it's too late. The time to notice the difference is at the beginning of the construction, when they lay the foundation. Once the house is built, the difference is not that obvious anymore. We will have to wait now for the storm to be able to tell. But it might be too late then. And after it collapses, it's easy to see and say, oh, there was no foundation underneath that house. But it's too late. what would be considered building upon the sand? Well, trusting in something that will fail in the hour of testing. Trusting in something that should not be trusted. That's building upon the sand. Or expecting to go to heaven with hopes in a flimsy foundation. We read last week, Lord, Lord, have we not done this? And Jesus said, I don't know you guys. So they were expecting to go to heaven, but they had a flimsy foundation. If we bring our bodies to the house of prayer, but not our souls. If we worship with our mouth, but not with our heart. If we worship with our feelings, but not in spirit and in truth. Then let's not rely on this time of prayer and worship to help us in our hour of testing. It was useless. Total waste of time. Will do nothing for you. You built on the sand. In Luke 6:48, Jesus said, he dug deep. What is involved in digging deep for us? Five things. Number one, not making a commitment in a hurry or lightly, but sitting down and counting the costs. There are those who say they are saved before they acknowledge that they are lost. They're too quick. They can make a commitment to Jesus, but the commitment is too quick. They are not digging deep. Number two, emptying ourselves of self-righteousness and self-sufficiency. The sinner needs first to be convicted of his inability to save himself. All his works are not sufficient for salvation. Number three, pursuing an inward knowledge of the truth. That's digging deep. Emptying ourselves of self-righteousness, that's digging deep. Closely following Jesus without refusing self-denial, that's deep. That's digging deep. And obeying God's word, hiding it in our heart that we may not sin, like the psalmist said in Psalm 119:11. Such a person is digging deep. He is building on a solid foundation. Does not make commitment in a hurry. He tries to empty himself of self-righteousness. He pursues an inward knowledge of the truth. He closely follows Jesus Christ, not afraid to deny himself, and he obeys the word of God. That is building on a solid foundation. That is digging deep. Now, how is a person building on the sand? Four ways. Number one, depending on religious performances, church membership, or church attendance for salvation, following rituals, or saying prayers to be saved. This is building on the sand. It will not last. It is useless. Number two, establishing doctrines based on experiences. We cannot establish doctrines based on our experiences or the experiences of others because experiences vary all the time. We are all different and we all react differently to the same situation. We all relate to things differently. So if we make those experiences the foundation of our relationship with God, then we are building on the sand. It's not wise. Now, if we would ask any Mormon to tell us why they believe the Book of Mormon is the Word of God, every one of them will tell you about the experience they had when they prayed and they asked God about it. Every one of them had some kind of experience that confirmed that the Book of Mormon is really the Word of God. But we cannot build our house upon experiences. People constantly have new experiences. To build on experiences is building on the sand. And then number three, building on visions and dreams and feelings. We cannot build on feelings because too many things can alter our feelings. We cannot trust our feelings more than we can trust rotten wood to hold up a house. We cannot build a relationship with God based on feelings. It's a dangerous thing. Many Christians are into feelings, and they build their relationship with Christ on feelings. Building on visions, dreams, or feelings is building on the sand. It is not wise. And then number four, building on the writings, the ideas, the philosophies, or the concept of men. That's building on the sand. Many people are building their house on the writings, the ideas, the concept of some writers. Building their entire religious system upon the interpretation and the philosophies of men. Now, how can a group of people exterminate another group of people? How could some German, without guilt, put millions of Jews into ovens? How could they gas them? How could they be so insensitive? They could, because they had built their house on the philosophy of their leader, an evil man. They were taught that everything is relative, that truth does not exist, that there is no real good and no real evil. Evil is only what a person thinks is wrong. Everything is relative. So, having destroyed the absolutes of good and evil, they were then capable to commit such atrocities against other human beings without feelings and without guilt. The philosophy upon which they built their house took away the acknowledgement that right and wrong do exist. Unfortunately, that philosophy is coming back in our school system today. They are teaching our children that there is no right and no wrong. Everything is relative. The storm is brewing. Soon the entire system is going to go down the tubes. Look at the effect of that philosophy, the effect it had on our society so far. Look at the degree of violence in the crimes being committed today. Look at the age of the criminals today. Grade schoolers commit atrocity against other human beings. Look at the attitude towards marriage. Look at the involvement of kids in sex. Look at their attitude towards the unborn babies. Look at the damage that such philosophy has already done and is going to do if it is allowed to continue. To build on the writings, the ideas, the philosophies, or the concept of men is building on the sand, and great will be its fall. And then Matthew closes and he gives us the response of the people in the Sermon on the Mount. He says in verses 28 and 29, "And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribe." So this is our last and final two ways to do things. Here we see there are two ways to teach. You can teach with authority, and you can teach from the authorities, quoting others like the scribe did. So Jesus was teaching with authority. He knew what the scripture said and what they meant. He was the ultimate authority. The people had never heard such teaching, and they were astonished, Matthew says in verse 28. Other Jewish teachers and the scribes were not teaching like him. They were not teaching as one having authority. They constantly quoted some well-known rabbis in order to give their word some authority. Jesus did not do that. Today, a person can teach with authority, with confidence, what he or she has received from God. He may use commentaries. He may quote someone, but the message is their own. They have done their homework. They know their stuff. What they teach is clear. Their thoughts are well organized. They teach with authority. Others are not as clear. They do not know their stuff. They are not as confident. They did not do their homework. Their strong points are quotes from others. Their words are powerless. They do not teach with authority. So like the foolish man who did not work hard in building a foundation for his house, who hurried and cut corners, so the teacher does likewise with his preparation. He does not work very hard at it. He hurries and he cuts corners. Matthew makes it clear here that people know the difference between teaching with authority and not teaching with authority. It is obvious to people. They immediately recognize the difference between the two. So definitely there are two ways to teach, with power and authority, without power and without authority. So Jesus closed his sermon with a parable that drives home the importance of obedience. Obedience is the evidence of true faith. You cannot say you believe, you cannot say you are a believer if you are not obedient. That's the proof of the pudding. It is not enough to just hear his saying or to study them. We must put them into practice. Our hearing must result in doing. Jesus said here in verse 26 that not to obey his sayings is foolish. If a person lives according to the principles of the Sermon on the Mount, the world will call him a fool. But Jesus calls him a wise man. The world considers a wise man someone who lives by sight, someone who lives for the present, who lives for self. But Jesus calls such a person a fool. It is right to use the wise and foolish builders to illustrate the gospel. The wise man puts his confidence in the rock, Jesus Christ, as his Lord and Savior. The foolish man refuses to repent, and he rejects Jesus as his only hope of salvation. But the interpretation of this parable actually goes beyond salvation. A person may come to Christ and hear his sayings, but if he does not do them, if he does not obey them, he is foolish. His profession will ultimately be tested before God, like we saw last week, the people standing before God. Those who have trusted Christ and have proved their faith by their obedience will have nothing to fear. Their house, their life, founded on the rock, will stand. But those who have professed to trust Christ but have not obeyed his sayings, they will be condemned. Mere knowledge is of no value in the day of the storm. If your soul is anchored in the Word of God, come what may, you are going to stand. Your house, your life will not collapse. But if it is not anchored in the rock, look out. So build your life on the Word of God. You will be able to ride any storm. Storm of temptation, storm of grief, storm of discouragement, storm of illnesses, storm of despair. Whatever the storm, whatever the disaster, you will be able to stand. The two roads tell us to examine the cost. Have we paid the price to profess faith in Christ? The two trees tell us to investigate whether our lives have really changed or not. Are there godly fruit coming from our life? And the two houses here, they remind us that true faith in Christ will last not only in the storms of life, but also in the final judgment. So lay your foundation deep in the Word of God. If you wait for the storm to come to lay a deep foundation, it will be too late. Now is the time to examine your foundation. You are responsible for what you have heard. And you must make a choice. You can build on one of two foundations. There are only two. You can build on the rock, Christ Jesus, or you can build on the sand, everything else. The choice is yours. Do not be foolish builders. Be wise builders. If you build on the wrong foundation, you will be miserable. And if you build on the solid foundation, you will be unshakable. The choice is yours. What do you want your life to be? Miserable or unshakable? I want mine to be unshakable. The story that Jesus told us this morning is much more important than one man having a strong house and the other man losing his house. He can always rebuild another one. He can get payment from the insurance company. But this is not what Jesus is concerned. The house there is our life. Two men. One is building his life wisely. The other one is building foolishly. And again, we're not comparing believer with unbeliever. This is within the Christian realm. Two men. A solid Christian, a carnal Christian. So that's what we're looking at. Very important that we build properly, that we set ourselves up to the day we're going to stand in front of Jesus like we saw last week. And the guys of last week thought that prophesying and doing all kinds of miracles was building wisely. We saw that it was not. Jesus said, "Depart from me, I don't know you." Very important to build wisely, and to build wisely, you build on the Word. You come to Christ, you hear His saying, and you do them. So don't stop at knowing. You come to Christ, you know Him, so now you have two Christians. You have a Christian who comes to Christ, the other Christian comes to Christ. This Christian hears the sayings of Christ, this Christian hears the saying of Christ. Now comes the difference, the foundation. This man does the saying, this man does not. One obeys, one does not. One is safe, the other is not. So may the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. May He bless your life, your home, your work. May He help you to build a solid foundation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.